The following programming is sponsored by PhillyLabor.com. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We've got a great show today. Today's show is all about work injuries for union workers. Okay, and we have a fantastic panel that's going to be with us. I'll introduce them. They're going to be joining us in the next segment. But we have a lot going on. And as a union worker myself, certainly it's an area where in a lot of ways there's we got Dr. Ben Benjamini in the house, Center City Medical. He's going to be joining us right now. We have a fantastic panel, and we got the best in the business when it comes to injured workers and injured union workers. And so we're basing this show in a sense. So as you all know, you know, we do the labor show. This is the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show, where we bring professionals in to the broadcast who, support the union community in a variety of ways. This is our injured workers program. Doc, how are you, sir?
Yeah, good, good.
Great to have you.
Good morning, good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. We're basing this show on something that happened a couple weeks ago with a union worker. Happened to be a union iron worker at a local 401, and we do the labor show, and we're on WWDB, and we, you know, after the show, we said, okay, so it's been a while since we've done a purely medical show.
Okay.
Put together a top panel, because of a situation that happened about a month ago, okay, with a union worker out of Iron Workers Local 401, he'll remain nameless, but there's a lot of circumstances that were. We do a lot of legal shows, when it comes to, our union community. Palma Hockey does a great job with them. But we wanted to do and some of my colleagues in labor said, listen, can you bring a medical panel in of top professionals and, you know, kind of get education on this issue so we can send it out to our members, our apprentices, and our foreman on the job. And I'll tell you why. This guy was a foreman on the job. Now, there's a lot of interesting situations when it comes to labor, okay? Number one, I've known him for 30-some years. Fantastic guy, great worker. But he's worked with the same company for 35 years, which means, you know, like, he's been there a long time, and has seen a lot of things, Doc. But because he has, you know, he makes a great living. And is not interested in getting, you know, losing his steady position. Now, by the way, we have 500-700 signatory contractors, so he wouldn't be out of a job. But he's worked for this company a long time. He gets injured, they send him to the panel physician. He's there about two, 3 weeks. Can't move his shoulder, and says, I they did an X-ray. They saw nothing, of course. At the next point, he said, look, you're giving me therapy, yet you have no diagnostics. There was nothing on that. And this is 2-3 weeks in. I'm not improving. And there's a lot of things going on. Now, Doc, that's when he called his union business manager in the building trades. And he, at that point, because we do a union program, he called me up, an injured workers program, and he said, look, we got a little bit of a situation here. This guy clearly doesn't want to be out of work, but he said he needs, an MRI or something, because they're giving him a therapy program and they don't have a diagnosis. And it was confusing this guy. First of all, before we get in it, before we get into this discussion, remind our listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what the practice does.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. So Center City Medical Center is a practice that I'm part of for the past 28 years. We specialize, we have chiropractors, we have physical medicines, and we have general doctors that are part of this group. And we attend to mostly patients from various aspects of the workforce or not working that are dealing with musculoskeletal complaints. These are pains and symptoms that are associated from muscles, joints, the spine, and so forth. And so what we do is we obviously evaluate and determine the cause of the pathology, the problem. And if it's an injury, we certainly want to identify what is the underlying lesion, the problem. And after that, develop a treatment program that can facilitate the quickest form of recovery, both from a pain status and from a functional status, which is the most important element, because you're dealing with the small introduction that you gave is dealing with a guy who has been working for 30 some years, and it sounds like he's doing some labor work, gets injured, and without even seeing this gentleman or this gal, I'm sure that they wanted to get back to work, but clearly they had pain. And it's just unfortunate from what you described that nobody was able to help them with it.
And it's interesting. So my colleagues in the labor community asked me to put together a panel, and we wanted to be diverse about our panels. Obviously, we have an outstanding chiropractor and medical center founder and operator in Dr. Ben Benjaminian, and we have a neurologist in Dr. Bruce Grossinger. Doc, I wanted to say to you, okay, I want to repeat what I said to Dr. Ben. When I called you, to ask you to come on the panel, I mentioned to you that we put together this panel because of a situation, my colleagues in labor wanted to do a medical only broadcast where we could educate our members on medical, okay. From top professionals that are in the industry. A lot of these guys, by the way, this guy first went to his family doctor and couldn't get, I mean, that guy wouldn't even treat him, and he's seen the guy since he was like 8, right? And he's up in the Northeast. But guy gets injured on the job, like I mentioned, and I was just saying to Dr. Ben, and one thing leads to another, and he's there 3 weeks. Now, he's just thinking like a regular human being. He's probably never really been, and he's going, they give him an x-ray. He's in bad pain. I'll say mad pain because when I got the call from the business manager at the Ironworkers Union, they know I'm just an advocate, of course, but they also know that we put together, support systems for injured workers, or at least we'll provide some advocacy and send them to somebody who knows what they're doing, because guys like yourselves are so rare, you couldn't find them. If you were just a regular injured worker. You go to the emergency room, you go to your family doctor, and you can't figure out why they're not helping. This guy gets an x-ray. He's hurt for 3 weeks. He's been working with the same company for 30 years. That's 10 years longer than I've been out of the business, right? And is scared to death he's going to lose his job. But he knows one thing. They're treating him, and he doesn't, and they have no diagnosis. So he says to them, he walks up. This is what he called his business manager. In the building trades in Philly, the business manager is the head of the union. That's not the president. Some of them are business manager / president, but calls his president, his business manager calls me, and he says, I don't know what's going on here, man. I have a massive problem. I'm afraid what they're doing is hurting me. He said to the lady, this is 3 weeks in, I need an MRI. You don't, and she wasn't a doctor. She was a physician's assistant. So my point is, at that point, he calls me and he says, does this make sense to you? I mean, I said, look, I'm a layman. I would say, so he's sitting there just using common sense. And so at that point, he wants a second opinion. Okay. And at that point, but he didn't want to go see a lawyer because he was afraid. Okay. And so it was vital that he said, look, I just need a second opinion. And, so at that point, I did call, Palmahockey, and Palmahockey referred somebody that was close to him, like right near his home. But the point was, he went and got educated. It's confusing why my first question. First of all, Doc, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the panel. And it's great to meet Dr. Benjamin. We've certainly heard a lot about him, and great to see him.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, and so you guys are at the top and at the forefront of this industry. Why, you heard the scenario, Doc, why in the world, okay, would not a professional, you know, and why wouldn't they show, why wouldn't they get him in a room with people like yourself, qualified doctors? Why are they sending him to a physician's assistant, number one? Number two, why will they not prescribe diagnostics?
Okay, well, that's an interesting question. And I think a lot has to do with the monetary structure of workers' comp and the adversarial structure, the way it's organized. So you basically, the way the law is written here in Pennsylvania is the company, and more importantly, the insurance companies have 90 days to invalidate, ruin, minimize the case, and try to retain the patient at work at all costs, irrespective of the medical scenario. So what they do is they have places set up all around, WorkNet, Concentra, and typically...
It was Concentra, I believe.
And there are some doctors there, like, I won't mention a name, but I went up to Northeast Philly to meet... Somebody introduced me and said, I want you to meet this guy, he's got a lot of comp. And the guy, without mentioning his name, he literally looked at me in the eye and he said, because this guy's an advocate, just like Putin advocates for Russia, this guy advocates for the insurance company against the patient. He said, I want to know what your opinion is. I've never seen an injured worker who could go back to work in some capacity. Okay? So I knew immediately where he was coming, and I didn't want to, it's like going there and trying to say, well, I'm for democracy. So I listened to it. So the answer is they have 90 days. If there is a gap in treatment, which is inherently related to the 90-day rule with Act 44 and Act 57, then there could be a problem, you know, on the side. So let's say somebody treats for a low back injury, they have sciatica, they don't get any care. So firstly, the people, either the emergency room, the family doctor, or these people, you know, they're busy. They're not, their job isn't to document the injuries, but, you know, after a reasonable period of time, they should get the MRI, but they know, but if you're in that system and you're advocating for the patient, you're getting MRIs, you're getting EMGs with like a Dr. Rosen, you're getting chiropractic care with Dr. Benjamini, you're really documenting the case, you're opening it up so that the patient can get reasonable care. And if there is a herniated disc, they're going to miss time. And so it's all monetarily driven. And the patients, they think that their family doctor has expertise in this field, which they don't. And they think that to get a lawyer means that they'd be suing
right. The
company rather than the grand bargain,
well,
where it's an inherent right. So there's so many misconceptions, and that's why it's good that we can have this panel.
Well, Dr. Benjamin, let me ask you a question. How do you handle a situation where somebody's been beat up by going, you know, because normally what happens in the labor community, and it's amazing, really, and it's why we do these shows, why they asked us to do the show. First thing they do when they get injured, especially iron workers, okay, I mean, they make a lot of money. They're not, I mean, most of them, I say especially because I was one for 20 years, but the fact is they don't want to be out of work, okay? But the first thing you do, especially the first time you ever get hurt, you go to your boss. Where do I go? It isn't until weeks later that you realize that, what the hell is going on here? I'm confused. So now all of a sudden you got a guy we aren't incredible friends, but we're very good colleagues. And I mean, I might not talk to him for 10, 15 years, but he's a friend. He's talking to his buddy now, right? His competence in medical is not, you know, he expected to go into somebody like yourself, okay, Dr. Grossinger, you know, his family doctor, who's now he's got no confidence. He's beat up. He's walked in. He doesn't know who to trust anymore. How do you handle that situation when somebody walks in your office after being just uneducated in the area and what Dr. Grossinger said, you know, kind of getting thrown around? How do you rehabilitate not only their injury, but also their confidence and you know, their
confidence and level of trust.
In medical.
Yeah, I think you hit a very sensitive topic. You're dealing with people and patients mostly in our case that have been somewhat mishandled by medical professionals and maybe even their bosses. And so they get very disappointed. Their stress levels are increasingly getting higher. And by the time they see us, they're very antsy and uncomfortable. And so the most important thing I feel, and we can verify it with our colleague, the other doctor, Dr. Grossinger, that you want to be able to let them express their concerns. Let them talk. Somebody needs to listen to them because they have been sitting in front of professionals that are not very open to their concerns and to their pain and suffering. And so by having them develop the level of confidence with us, I think that that becomes a big hurdle to overcome. And once they understand that we are trying to help them, they loosen up and they're more receptive to our treatment program and protocols that we would like them to follow. So again, I think the most important thing is to let them talk and to have somebody listen to their concerns and their complaints, which many times before they come to us is being neglected. And that's just a shame.
Yeah, well, it is a shame. And in effect, I've also had this. I mean, this individual couldn't get their medications, couldn't get it. This guy, and by the way, he's a man's man if you could ever meet one, right? He's been a head foreman for a company. And so we're going through this entire situation, okay? And he's at a loss. He pretty much lost all faith because, you know, and so... And he was afraid. He didn't want to talk to a lawyer. It's right. Exactly what you said.
They're very fearful. They lost trust and confidence in whatever structure they were in. They feel that if they don't go back to work, they'll get laid off. And this is a very common scenario that I see in my practice. These are difficult times that they're going through. And there's very, very few people that are listening to them.
Well, you got to ask that question to somebody. Speaking of the panel, his Mara Vittorello. I was actually just as I was briefing everybody. This show talks about, in a lot of ways, it's about having somebody, okay, who tries to navigate the system themselves, okay. And it's weird in with the labor unions because they are in the. And this is fun. We do a lot of education on it, but you obviously some people will say, "Well, listen, can I speak at the union meeting?" Well, if I could get you at the union meeting, you'd find out one thing. You'd ask how many members are in the union. Let's just say there's 1,000. How many go to the union meetings? 100. Some unions have 2,000 members, and they get 30 people at the meeting. Okay? So you can't get to everybody and educate them. But they do have email, and so this guy really piqued some interest, especially in the Ironworkers Union. But also, you know, we have... a ton of individuals, but we're talking about a case, and it's what we base this show on, where a guy tried to navigate the system himself, okay? And he found himself, so when we're Steady Eddie, they call you Steady Eddie, right? That's what, you've been working for the same company for 30 years. Every union's different. But let's just take it, if you're, say you're a union boilermaker, okay? Which we do a lot of, shows with that. There's only 5 employers in the state. You know, I mean, you know, or elevator. Each union's different. These guys do not want to lose their jobs, so they're going and asking and go. How, even though union representation does, they're never going. They will never get kicked out of the union. The union represents them, and they'll fight for them because you're not allowed to fire somebody just for getting injured. But you could lose. I worked out of the union hall, so. There were weeks where I got 3 jobs, we're doing a 2-story building, a barber shop, whatever, you're back down the hall. But then you might get Liberty One, Comcast Two, so these guys, and that's like a year or two work, but you get with steady with a company. You could get a truck and all those things. It's the company's truck, but you're in great, they don't want to lose those perks. And this guy was at a total loss. I know because he saw a lot of other individuals get injured. Okay. And so he could not get medications. He had tried to go to the CVS and they would not give him his medications. So finally, he had no choice but to call the hall. And this guy's a good guy. He's not somebody that's snaking on the local guys. And we have 500 signatory contracts. If the contractor didn't like him because he got injured, he could just tell him what he thought of him and go somewhere else. But he would lose those perks. He's almost out of the business, for crying out loud. He's about to retire. And he was at a total loss. This happened 2 to 3 weeks ago. And so right away, that, you know, talk about that situation in your world, Marla, yeah. where, you know, you guys are a workers' compensation pharmacy. And typically speaking, these cases can go any which way but loose.
Right.
He couldn't get the medications from the standard CVS or Rite Aid or wherever he was trying to go. Mm-hmm. And therefore, he was getting no medical treatment, no diagnosis, and no relief.
Right. No, I mean, again, it goes back to the same thing. You know, an injured worker, whether you're in the union or non-union, you should have representation right away. Just the way similar that a union works to, they all take care of their members, they protect each other, and they will fight the fight for each other, whether it's putting the job on the line or getting medical and making sure they're endorsed properly by the attorney. They're actually in a better position than a non-union worker.
I was just going to say, you mentioned right? non-union workers. They don't even have representation. They can get fired after not being missing work for 20 years. You're Steady Eddie with a non-union company. You have no union official.
Right.
My dad, who was our union business manager, had a saying. Mm-hmm. He had a saying. With that company right there, and by the way, he never had a problem with guys working non-union because not everybody can get in a union. He had a problem with the company who was underpaying them and pocketing a difference.
Right. That can happen.
Here was the saying, you're fired when you hit the ground. In other words, you fall on some of these, especially some of them that use migrant workers or somebody who they're taking advantage of somebody undocumented. So that's a whole nother area of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you're really on your own at that point.
You're on your own. And, and I would say this across the board, I would give the same advice, whether you're a union worker or not. Don't just depend on your union to take care of you or those employers. You know, every situation is different. Every union's different. Every endorsement from 100%. Each attorney is different. And then, of course, you have the different companies that employ those union contracts for those jobs, whether they're a month, 6 months, or a couple years. No one knows better than you in being a union worker. But the commonality is the same. You know, the trying to get patients their medications, trying to get them the physician treatment, chiropractic treatment, therapy, it's a challenge. And the resonating constant in each one of those equations is the insurance company. The insurance company is going to fight it no matter what.
Let's talk about the second opinion. Okay, this guy wanted a second opinion. He couldn't get one. He didn't even know where to go. Okay. And we all know that there are standards that a company has to, you know, they got to have a list of panel doctors on the wall. You got to get this letter of acknowledgement at the time of signing up and at the time of injury. Okay. All those things, even if there's a collective bargaining agreement, okay, you can still get a second opinion. Is that a second opinion, you know, you would give Dr. Grossinger?
Sure. And as I've said before, Marlon knows me very well. Mm-hmm. I believe that. For me, at least, it's very easy because there is no neurologist on any panel anywhere. So, and even if there was, I know that if I get involved in a valid case, even though they might try not to pay me for the 90 days, I'll always get paid on the back end. So I don't buy into that. So if somebody needs me on day one, if somebody calls me like, hey, Joe, I need you to see my friend, just like your friend with the stroke.
Right.
I got him in that day. That's what we have to do. And I'm sure Dr. Benjamin, he does the same. He's a doctor. I can tell just by, he's a compassionate doctor, and I'm enjoying listening to him. So a good doctor will say, come on in. I'm not going to wait 90 days. You need to be seen here now. And if the claim's denied, which it invariably is, or they diagnose lumbar strain when it's really neck, it's a head injury, they could have no arms and no legs, and they'll want to send it back to work. And I'll know Synergy Medical. I know that I say, hey, we've got, like you said, the case, Ponlahti. I know they're going to back them up. I could call Marla, and I'm saying they need their anti-inflammatories, their muscle relaxers, whatever they need. And Marla will say, we'll fill them even on a denied claim. So you just have to get into the right circle of friends, I would say. And by friends, I mean doctors who are advocates who care about the patient and get them out of that place where they become where they're faceless numbers and get them into the world of compassionate medicine.
Yeah, well said. Yeah.
Dr. Benjamin, talk about that.
I completely agree. I think the question was asked, where does a person go when they don't know where to go? And if they find a doctor that's willing to listen, like I said, I think they already made some advance in their care because that doctor, whoever it is, like Dr. Grossinger said, will find a Synergy pharmaceutical who would be able to provide them with whatever it is that they need. And that's a step in the healing phase. You have to find a doctor that's willing to listen and provide.
Yeah,
I often wonder what it was like 20 years, I mean, not 20 years ago, but whenever, before there was a network of medical professionals like yourselves that would, now look, I mean, I've heard there's, but not at the level now, okay, but still, it's almost impossible, unless you know a good lawyer, okay, to find medical professionals that will take, you know, like, I mean, you can't find your family doctor. You just can't. That's why this guy was at the end of his rope. Mm-hmm. If he was a steady foreman for a company for 30 years, that means only one thing. The only thing, first of all, he's good at what he does. You know, the guy is a crackerjack. He's fantastic. He don't know people like the people in this room. He only knows the panel. He might have even referred people to panel positions at the reference of the owner of the company when they got hurt.
Yeah, well, it boils down to education. I think letting people understand and knowing what resources that they have and educating every union worker, and that comes from leadership too, that you're not suing your employer just because you have representation. And it boils down to knowing what their rights are. So in the state of Pennsylvania, 90-day panel doesn't apply to every single person. Now, more for union guys, because they do get them to sign the dotted line, you know, when it comes to. Exactly, which means so you would be liable or committed to the panel and have to see those physicians for the first 90 days because they signed at the time of injury and at the time of employment. And it's most likely posted in the workplace.
However, there's a million different types of union jobs. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
The refinery. Okay, or the high-rise building, which is, now you got big general contractors there, you're signing up. They have everything right there.
Yeah, so they're locked in. They're locked in, most of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there's a million small jobs. And I say small jobs, I'm saying a three-story, you know, we could probably look out here and see a crane going up. And and so very rarely that they ever, the worker never really knows.
But there's still movement within seeing the panel physicians because, like you said, a second opinion. Every patient has a right to a second opinion. So maybe they won't pay for it right away because it's in the 90 days. Or if there was a neurosurgeon or a neurologist like the great Dr. Bruce, who rarely would ever anybody request a second opinion after they speak with him because he's that spectacular. But let's say that is the case. They just want to compare. They should and could get that. They're just afraid to go outside of that realm.
They're afraid
they're going to lose their benefits or that they're suing their employer. But the other thing, too, that people don't know, that if you have six specialists that are on there, and let's say, you know, the patient is in need of a neuropsych or something that is not listed on that panel, they also have the right to go outside of the specialists that are listed. So this is where the education comes in. And this is why we do what we do. And this is why Synergy Pharmacy even evolved, because we evolved based off of a need that patients can't get. We recognize that need, that they can't get their pharmaceuticals from CVS and other, pharmacies that are retail. The same thing with the physicians that are sitting right here. Dr. Benjamini, you know, not every chiropractor does workers' comp. And do they do it to the level that you do it, where you understand how the law works, you understand the injury and the A&P that goes along with the injury and all of those outcomes. And so when a patient comes to you, they feel safe. They feel like you are going to take the best care and you're not just looking at what the insurance company is going to pay or not pay. And unfortunately, being in medicine, whether it's regular care or workers' compensation, managed care, or Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they do dictate to us exactly what the doctors have to, write for prescriptions or their formulary or, you have to follow their care
model,
path.
Their model, yeah.
And it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. I mean, I know this, firsthand because we see it where, people try to put restrictions on what we can give patients and we don't. We don't.
Well, let me ask you a question. How important is it to have, I've heard the term a lot, but letter of protection from a good proven workers' compensation firm, okay, rather than a dabbler. If somebody walks in, If somebody walks in and you know, we've talked about, because we do the lawyer-to-lawyer shows, individuals that don't really know personal injury. I had somebody, by the way, I did a show with somebody about a month ago, and it was a personal injury attorney at a reputable firm who had a client come in that morning and say, am I going to have to pay for the expert again, right? Mm-hmm. Because they went to a neighborhood attorney. How important is that letter of protection from a reputable firm, Dr. Benjamini?
I think it's always important to know the person that's standing behind the patient. It gives also a sense of confidence, not only to the injured party, but also to the providers. They know that they will get paid at the end. But I'd like to always look at it from a care, from a providing a service that the patients need. Many times, I don't know the attorneys, and I really hope that all of them know what they're doing, because I just want to take care of the patient. And it's through the network of providers that we know each other that we try to help facilitate every aspect of their medical needs, whether it's neurologists like Bruce, or the pharmacy, or the orthopedics, or the physiatrists. We just try to create the sources for them to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
But many times, I don't know the attorney, and I hope that they know what they're doing.
It's the track record, too. And I think that if you do get a case from an attorney who doesn't treat you well and doesn't treat the patient well, then you know, there's a checkbox that goes off in your mind to be a little more cautious when the next one comes in. But knowledge is power. And I would say that even for the attorney side of things. So if I'm an attorney and I only specialize in workers' comp and I'm doing volume after volume of workers' comp, what happens? I get more experienced. I understand the intricacies of the law, and then understand that these things, there's barriers and things like that I'm going to see if I have 1,000 caseload, or if I'm an attorney who does not specialize in workers' comp, and I might have like a 50 caseload. So there is a big difference. It would be like, you know, doing a procedure, right, Doc? I mean, what is the procedure you do the most of? And everyone comes to you, so you get more experience with that.
Exactly. You know, for instance, if I have to do a lumbar epidural injection, or I have to do a neurocognitive assessment or PRP or stem cell, anything like that. And what I find, though, the good news really is in the comp bar. So if you look at attorneys in personal injury, you'll see that with motor vehicle accidents and liability, it's kind of the Wild West. There's a million of them. Mm-hmm. But as far as people that really fancy themselves as specializing in workers' comp, they tend to treat us better. They do. They know the defense attorney. I mean, I'm not saying the system is any better. They know the defense attorney. They usually know the judge. And they know their cases very well. And as a rule, I don't fear that they're going to totally stiff me, because it's a smaller group. Whereas if you have a slip and fall case and you got John Q. Public somewhere you never met, they're in they slip and fall in Des Moines, Iowa, you know, you have to be a little cynical there.
Right.
I believe that in the comp world, and again, as far as a letter of protection per se, mm-hmm. I'm not a lawyer, but I guess I'm the closest thing on this panel, that if somebody loses their comp case, like if somebody
you're
goes
severely
there,
underestimating me.
Yeah, I'm underestimating Joe.
But I worked at a law firm.
So if somebody has a low back case and somehow they go, this is the extreme.
Yeah.
They go to, let's say they say they were on that SEPTA bus in Northeast Philly, mm-hmm. with people like me, maybe Dr. Ben, not to stereotype us, but let's say the accident never happened. It was on video and they lose the case. That doesn't happen very often, but there's a chance, even with a letter of protection, that attorney will not be bound to pay us.
Right.
But that's extremely rare.
There's always a risk. And that's the thing. I think there's a financial risk, and then, of course, the medical risk for a patient putting their own care into the hands of a physician that maybe they don't know or is not their doctor if they're on a panel.
One of the issues also is individuals getting the wrong care for too long, okay, and it potentially, I'll never forget, I might have been like, I don't know, 5 years ago, I was doing a labor show over in, we were doing it at the station, and we were in Old City, and I'll never forget the one, I was on a phone call about something, and the doctor said, you know, if they don't get the right care or the right therapy, that injury itself might never heal properly. You know, like in other words, if they don't get in Dr. Benjamini's office soon enough, while that individual's following this and Dr. Grossinger, when that individual is getting, you know, led around by the nose for months and months and months, and I would suspect that this happens to thousands of people if they never get to meet the right doctors or medical professionals and an attorney because they're afraid to get fired, okay, then they may not, you know, really recover completely from their injury, correct, Doc?
Yeah, absolutely. Wrong care can result in permanency and in chronic and lingering pain. So
I mean,
you certainly have to take care of it at the right time, at the beginning, in the acute phase of it, and also learn how to deal with it in managing the pain and, you know, discomfort.
So let's talk about culture, you know, the patient culture at all your, you know, practices. Okay, obviously, I already have an idea, we wouldn't be in this room. Obviously, everybody's got top reputations. So when our union workers listen to this broadcast, that, you know, now you have a place, okay, and you have options when you didn't think you did. But having said that, talk about the culture at the practice, Doc, and you know what patients can expect when they walk in your doors, Dr. Benjamini.
Well, patients will be greeted by our receptionists and we'll see one of our providers. It could be a general medical doctor, it could be a chiropractor, it could be a physiatrist, whoever is.
You have a network of
providers
physicians
in the office, different shifts, it's different doctors. So they will be entertained and examined by one of the medical professionals. And they will be diagnosed. As you said, you had a friend that was not diagnosed. There will be a diagnosis and certainly much of an educational experience to them to figure out and see what it is that is wrong with them.
You mentioned, Doc, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is what the guy, I forgot to say this. It's so amazing that what you just said, because he said to me when he finally, as a physician's assistant, he said, I need real diagnostics. You had 3 weeks ago, you x-rayed me when I came in here, and I still can't pick my shoulder up.
Right.
And he said, I need an MRI. And her answer was, we're not giving you one.
Right. So what to expect when they come to us, and I'm sure it would be the same with Bruce. These are people that were being treated elsewhere, and they are frustrated that they did not get their diagnostics. And so we will do our best efforts to retrieve all the medical records that were pertinent to their injury and definitely create and refer them out for the proper diagnostics that are needed now. So if this gentleman was complaining of shoulder aches for 4 weeks and had only x-rays and maintained that pain level and maybe even had it more, then he would leave with an MRI appointment after the first visit. Now, don't ask me if there's insurance or not. I really don't care if there's insurance or not. An MRI needs to be scheduled and gotten.
Well, it's interesting.
Just exactly right. Also, I know MRI places where they'll be very receptive to receiving that and to possibly working with the attorney and getting them what they need, as opposed to other places that may just be very resistant.
Well, that's like a family doctor. Family doctor's resistant to that situation. You also have medical professionals, you know, and vendors, providers, that, if you will, that also are in this industry that understand the way it works.
Well, what I'm really frustrated about, and, you know, as you know, I'm a nurse. I went to school at Jefferson, and I look at these big academic hospitals, Jefferson, Penn, Temple. They're very resistant to workers' compensation, and they won't take a case in the door unless, if it's denied, they have to have a good and open, you know, regular healthcare plan so that they can get guarantee of payment. When you look at providers like us as a pharmacy, a small pharmacy, CVS won't take them either. It's the same policy. Same thing with you guys. You have more of a boutique practice, which is wonderful, which is exactly what a patient wants, to walk in and feel special when they walk into your office, Dr. Ben and Dr. Grossinger, you know. And when we compare ourselves to those big university practices, it's like, those are the big monsters that can absorb the cost should they not get paid.
It's interesting. It's interesting. I went to the hospital. I don't know if. So I about 3 months ago, I woke up and my foot was killing me. Unbelievable. Turns out I slipped when I woke up one night in the middle of the night and I actually forgot. But anyway, I went to two emergency rooms, Lankinol and I went to Penn, or Jefferson. When I got to Jefferson, they first thing they asked me if it was a work injury, and I could not move.
If you say yes, they probably say, I'll see you later.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's the first thing they asked. By the way, they also made me give them my credit card to pay for everything, spot, okay, yeah. Which is not something that... That your practice
is... Well, now, right now, especially, you know, the temperature of things that are going on, you know, with inflation, things like that, everything is so expensive. I took my son to an endocrinologist at CHOP, and we got a $3,300 bill, okay? Literally a consult and blood work, $3,300. And I looked, you know, and I looked at the EOB, and I was like, wow, our insurance didn't pay anything for this. Like, literally, probably $1,000 for the entire bill. Well, that was the leftover.
By the way, that's my next question, because obviously with the lawyers in this industry, it, you know, there's a contingency fee agreement. And I think it's one of the great,
inventions.
Invention, right. It's the equalizer, yeah. Right? And as individuals that are in this, okay, Doc, when somebody walks, Dr. Benjamini, when somebody, you know, comes into your, for, you know, your facility and they're injured from a work injury, do they pay any out-of-pocket costs?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Talk about that, because, by the way, it's a reason why people don't go to emergency rooms because of the deductibles.
Yeah, at least $250. Well, at least.
Absolutely. So if they tell me that they were involved with a work injury, we certainly will take their health insurance as a backup, but there is no reason to bill their health insurance. You have to establish and wait to receive a claim number from their workman's comp insurance. And so I don't say no. I bring them in and listen to them and find out how we could help them medically. And at some point, if they do retain an attorney, that's even makes it easier.
Well, I think that's a great approach too. And you'll notice some law firms believe in that. Please do not bill the medical insurance. Just stick to the workers' comp insurance. Yeah. There are other law firms that want you to bill the backup insurance. And it's all dependent upon philosophy. I have to agree with the philosophy to only bill the work comp.
You have
because
to wait. This is the right.
That is, it's a work injury.
That's primary. That's
it's a work
supposed
injury
to cover.
Right. So if you start billing the medical plan, it's almost like you're not even convinced that this
that
was a related.
Work-related.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
that's
why
I agree.
That's true.
Let's talk about communications between the medical professionals. Okay. So, for example, when you've been in this business a long time, and Dr. Benjamin, I know you have a network of individuals who work at, you know, at Center City Medical Center, and Dr. Grosch, you also have a great network, and Marla. But talk about the importance of the communication between the professionals. Okay, we have this conversation a lot with lawyers when it comes to, so it's a third-party case. I'm a work comp attorney, and I may, and if I realize it is, I may send to a personal injury. I'm not personally, but I'm giving somebody the example. That communication with the client, which is always the biggest complaint, is so incredibly important, but also amongst the professionals. Okay, talk about a situation where maybe you're the neurologist on and you have the physiatrist, or you're doing the chiropractic, Dr. Benjamin. How does that, how important is the communication between the two? And also, the willingness to testify on behalf to do a deposition and stand in front of your treatment for an individual, because that is one of the things that is so important and one of the reasons why family doctors won't get involved. Talk about the willingness to testify, provide reports, but also to communicate between each other if you're both handling a situation, communication between the professionals.
I think it's very important, and that's why I'm giving Dr. Benjamin my cell phone. And when patients come in, I give them my cell phone. And it's very important to have respect for what's going on. So Dr. Benjamini, I know he has other providers there. And what I try to do is I try to fill in areas where he may not have somebody. For instance, he has a Dr. Rose who does EMGs. He originates the case. There's a lot of people like me who would, I hate to say, try to steal the patient or grab the EMG, which would be wrong. And I don't do any chiropractic care or any physical therapy. And that's unusual for people like me. Everybody has it. So for a doctor to know that Dr. Grossinger, I could triple my income tomorrow by hiring a chiropractor. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Because that would step on the foot of my referral people. If I know Dr. Rosen is there, Dr. Solburn, I think is another name, you know, the fact of the matter is what I do with PRP and stem cells might be something he doesn't have. To have neurocognitive therapy, psychological support in neurology. So if I'm dealing with the concussion part, I'll say, Ben, I'll deal with the concussion. You deal with the other part. And he knows if he needs a fluoroscopic procedure. So it's that kind of communication. And also knowing, getting the fax number, the email of the doctor. So when I dictate a report, which I do old school with an Olympus dictaphone, I don't use templates. I want to make sure that Dr. Benjamini has fax and or email of exactly what's going on in real time. And I do that with the lawyers as well. And I insist upon it.
Yeah. Doc, talk about your communications and the importance of, on behalf of the client, but also with the other professionals involved.
I think Bruce hit it right on the nose. You have to have an open channel of communication, whether it's with the other professionals, doctors, or the attorneys, or the pharmacy. If you have no communication, you're not making any headway. And I will tell you, and I'm sure some of our friends in the table here would share, that sometimes dealing with our larger orthopedic groups in town is like a nightmare to make an appointment and forget about getting the report from them. And so having the cell number of a doctor, which Bruce says he gives to his patients, just makes it more, create a greater level of confidence and trust in whoever it is that's providing the care. And if Bruce gives me his cell number, he's going to get phone calls directly from me.
I want the union listener and the leader to understand that there's a network out here and that they don't ever have to run into that situation where, by the way, the reason it's still an issue is because most union leaders are in the business of procuring work for their members. So they, when people get injured on the job, of course, they want to help, but they typically don't. You know, they may have an attorney's number, but they don't have the proper education. And when you're dealing with a person who's working 35 years, so normally here's probably what happened. You're injured. You've been doing. We'll call Sam Pond up. We'll get you right there. You know. And by the way, Sam jumped right in, and he's the one who got the medical professional for them. But immediately, this individual panicked. I don't want to sue my employer. So he wanted to go to the second opinion first, because he needed to know he was actually hurt before he thought he was making waves. So we want to let people know that there's top professionals out there. Okay, and by the way, you know, dealing with Sam or, you know, any of his lawyers, it's confidential. And, you know, they're going to babysit the case no matter, you know, and you know, it's not going to, you're not suing, like Marla said, you're not suing your employer. So the attorneys understand, but they wanted the education from the medical provider to know, because it does make sense that why would you give me, the lady said to him, I'm not getting you an MRI and I'm going to get, you know, you're going to start therapy, you know, a different program Monday. He's going, I'm an idiot. I'm a total.
Well,
idiot.
I was just going to say that.
How can you say that? How can you give me a program if you really don't know what's wrong with me? They're going on the fourth
week. Well, they don't want to know. You know, they don't want to know. The insurance companies don't want to know. The panel doctors don't really want to know, to the extent. So they're not ordering the diagnostics. They're just saying, you know what? They're sort of belittling your pain, sticking you back to work, because that's what they're paid to do as a panel doctor. I mean, that's basically behind the walls of what is going on. And there's a stigma. A sad stigma that has attached itself to personal injury patients, whether it's a slip and fall or a workers' comp that they're trying to get out of work. But most of your union guys, they want to work. They want to make their money. They don't want to be hurt. And, you know, it's...
The guy's a foreman. He's not climbing the steel anymore. He's, you know, reading the blueprints.
Right, right. But I think that's the biggest part, too. And there are a small population of those patients who sort of fabricate or, you know, malinger an injury of some sort just to try to get over on the system.
It's
a small percentage of people, and usually those people are vetted out immediately by the chiropractor, the doctor, or the attorney himself. So that's a very small, I mean, there are cases every now and again where people do get surprised and, you know, something comes up in the case.
But listen to this. I've talked to an attorney, I mentioned his name about five times on this, who said to me he's never had a patient ever get sued for fraud, but he's had many of the insurance companies get sued. In other words, one of the things insurance companies are better than everybody at, and that is getting the message out there. Even with, you know, a lot of, you know, like, in other words, everybody's a fake or all this. This way, you're injured. You're afraid to say anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that stigma, you know, is so, it might be a stigma, but whoever perpetuated the myth did a great job, because in our business, it's the last thing you want to do.
Right.
Tyler, how much time we got, Tyler? What do we got? We got about 5-6 minutes. Oh, great. Let's you know, kind of move on and let's talk about when you talk about providing the locations. Talk about your location, Doc, and the facility.
So, Center City Medical Center has three locations. One is Broad and Walnut at 1420 Walnut Street. One is in North Philly, right across from Einstein Hospital. Yep. And one is in the Northeast. We are open 5 days a week, and we're happy to help whoever needs our services. We are a group of chiropractor, physiatrist, and a regular MD doctor. And we are out there to take care of our patients.
Dr. Grossinger, your facility, a little bit
about. So I'm located, the name is Grossinger Neuropain Specialist, Dr. Bruce Grossinger, because there's a lot of other doctors that have my same last name, and they're wonderful people, by the way. Some of them are even my brothers.
I know.
But the good news is you could go to the second best, who's my brother, or you could come to me.
Oh, good.
Very,
out of here.
Very modest. So I mean that with...
I'm sure he's listening.
I mean that with love.
He's
and
the
so
best.
My number, I could be easily reached at 610-521-6063. Think of me as the airport location. We're 5 minutes towards Delaware County, but please don't pigeonhole me in Delaware County and give me like 1/20 of the cases I deserve. Think of me as a Philly guy.
Well, I do know people go all over the place.
Yeah, they
come
all over and from Lancaster, Berks County, from all over. And so I offer quarterbacking a team. So I'm a doctor who quarterbacks the team. We also do EMGs. I do all kinds of fluoro procedures. So when I look at it, I said, I will not be cutting you. So that makes them very happy. But I might stick a needle into you. And my license plate is Have Needles Will Travel. And we use non-opioid meds on everybody, as you know.
Yeah.
And we interface. We make sure people get to chiropractors and physical therapists. And I'm so glad to meet Dr. Ben here, because I've got a ton of people. And my job is to be a triage guy and to make sure they get into the good hands of Dr. Benjamini and people like him. And I'm looking forward to getting his cell number, because that's really the fun part, is calling him up and referring cases out. That's the part that makes me happy.
Yep.
So you can reach us. You can speak to Roz, who's very funny and good at parties. Her number is 610-521-6063.
Well, not just your contact information, but, you know, an extensive, you know, what you guys do.
No, absolutely. We're Synergy Pharmacy. We're a boutique pharmacy out in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. We are licensed in 9 states, including New Jersey, Delaware, New York, Florida, and, you know, of course, the great state of Pennsylvania, where we do majority of our work in for workers' comp. So synergyscripts.com, check us out. You know, we're easy to work with. We're easy to, you know, make sure that your patient gets the medication the next day. We really, you know, our customers are number one. Our patients are first.
So when I think about, you know, and Doc, did you give your contact information, Dr. Benjamin?
I did not give the phone number.
Please.
Center City Medical, 215-735-8052.
That's fantastic. And the location in Center City again?
1420 Walnut Street, Suite 904.
Okay. And I think I've been to the location, you know, several times. Doc, Baldwin Tower, right?
I'm in the Baldwin Tower in that 610-521-6063. And much like Dr. Ben, there'll be operators on duty all the time. Even after hours, we have cognitively challenged answering services like anybody else.
You know, it is interesting, and I hope that all of our union workers, you know, just everybody, you know, understand there's a whole industry of top professionals out there. But you can't be afraid, and that's some of them, and even guys and women that have been in the business for such a long time, there's such a fear factor for individuals that have gotten injured on the job that they're afraid of. How often, by the way, is that conversation? Is that Is that a normal scenario? Does that happen a lot where people come in and they're panicked about losing their jobs, Doc?
More often than not, yeah. More often than not. They're always panicking. But you know what? One thing to say for sure, they all want to go back to work, usually sooner rather than later. But they're all very concerned.
And your world, Doc?
Yeah, exactly the same. And I say my job is to get you better, to make sure we don't rush you back, to make sure that you go back safely, and that I'll provide any disability notes or anything to substantiate your disability so you're not just going to... And frankly, if you have a brain injury or something and they try to fire you, well, you're represented. That's wrong on every level. So I'll support you, whatever you need. And I think that's exactly the same message. Dr. Ben and I give the same message. And when you have a unified message of a caring group, we're a family. When they come in, you're our family. And you've been in my office plenty of times. There's music playing.
Yeah.
It's upbeat. Mm-hmm. These people are miserable. They're depressed. They have everything.
Scared.
They're poor, just like we are.
Yeah.
Just like we are. So I can identify with them. Like I always say, I'm long on desire, but short on cash flow.
Okay, so listen, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Who's Who in Philly Labor Show. We want to thank Dr. Ben Benjamini, Center of City Medical, for being here. Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Grossinger Neuropain, and of course, Marta Vittorello, Synergy Pharmacy, on behalf of Tyler and everybody on the panel.
Thanks, T.
I'm Joe Doherty. Thanks so much.